This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 20th of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. We're looking ahead to the weekend, and I don't know about where you are, but here in London, the weather is pretty gloomy, so I'm thinking of heading to the cinema, but what to see? Well, luckily today, film critic Karen Krzanovic is on hand to run me through the week's releases. We'll be discussing Todd Haynes' epic new romance, Carol, which stars Cate Blanchett, and there's sartorial drama in the Australian film The Dressmaker. And we'll end with the final installment of the dystopian sci-fi adventure, The Hunger Games. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Welcome to the show, Karen. We're going to begin with the 1950s romantic drama Carol. Now, this tells the tale of Therese, an American department store clerk who falls for Carol, an older married woman. Now, this sees Cate Blanchett taking up the role of Carol and Rooney Mara as Therese. At its premiere in Cannes, it received a standing ovation, and it's been described as one of the greatest love stories of the year. Karen, did you fall head over heels for Carol?
You know, I liked it a lot when I saw it the first time, and I liked it even more the second time, which is unusual. Todd Haynes' work is not for everyone, I have to say. If you like Douglas Sirk, for example, he did an homage to Douglas Sirk in Far From Heaven. He likes to take on period films and actually throw himself into stories that are contentious and socially challenging, and Carol is no different. Carol is based on the second novel of Patricia Highsmith, originally published as The Price of Salt, which was a revolutionary book in its time, and I don't like to compare books to films, but I think it's important in this case, in that it was this is not a spoiler, this is a gay love story with a happy ending.
Now, full disclosure, anyone who knows me will know very well that I'm one of the biggest fans of the work of Douglas Sirk. So for me, Todd Haynes represents an excellent filmmaker who has a very original take when it comes to his cinematic ventures. Now, when tackling Carol, though, I mean, you've got someone like Todd Haynes, who was, of course, a very well-known director and arguably one of the most interesting auteurs working today. But then you've also got a book by someone who is also very well-known and very well-respected. How do these two influences come together?
Well, that's a very good question. So much. I think Patricia Highsmith's work, she's had something like 21 adapted works, and a lot of these happened after she died. So, I mean, her work is automatically cinematic. And I think Todd Haynes didn't develop this project. It came to him. And he is very enamored of period work. He likes to get everything very precise. And I think working with Sandy Powell, the Oscar-winning costume designer who actually made him aware of this project, I think working with her and also working with a lot of photographic documents, a lot of street photography of that period. This is 1951, 1952. He wanted to resurrect this story, but also it's quite timely because it is a love story between a married woman and an unmarried woman. So I think in a way it's a great what's the word? Convergence, I think, of two very interesting storytellers.
Now, I was actually first struck by the poster for this film, which I thought was just so wonderfully subtle in the message it gets across. You've got the picture at the top of Cate Blanchett, and she's the only clear figure amongst a rushing crowd. And then you've got a similar picture of Rooney Mara below that and sort of mirror reversed. It suggests a certain element of subtlety in the way it gets its message across. How does that translate into the film?
It translates beautifully, considering that a lot of us now are really expecting fast edits, explosions, a lot of movement. This film, the pace is beautiful, but it's all about looking. Because in 1951, 52, while it wasn't illegal or you couldn't get locked up for having a lesbian relationship, I mean, really, the way that you found a partner, because gay bars were, underground pretty much, was by looking. and subtle clues. And so it's timely, I think, that the poster has a sort of gaze about it, because we are talking about a great deal of subtlety. And I think cinema, particularly, you know, this was shot in Super 16 mil and then actually processed to look properly. It was color timed. So it's actually made as a proper old time film. So it has an old feel to it, but it really works. It's a movie that you want to look at, that's about looking.
Ah, that is music to my ears. Go Todd Haynes. Let's hear a little bit of Carol now.
How many times have you been in love?
You're always the most beautiful woman in the room.
Therese Belavet.
Carol.
Tell me you know what you're doing.
I never did.
And then it changed.
She's still my wife. I love her.
I can't help you with that.
It shouldn't be like this.
I know.
I shall be booking my tickets right after this. That was Carol, which is out today in US cinemas and will come out in the UK next Friday the 27th before rolling out in regions around the world in the following months. Now let's move on to The Dressmaker. This film stars Kate Winslet as Tilly Dunnage, who returns to her hometown to take care of her mother after she was banished at the age of 10 because of false accusations of murder. Karen, how does this story unfold upon her return?
So you think they're false accusations, do you?
Oh, well, I would have to confess that I am reading the information that my trusty researcher has put in front of me. Despite the fact that I am Australian and this is an Australian film, yes. I don't actually know the inner workings of this one.
But you don't know everybody involved with it? Come on.
I don't know all Australians. I'm sorry.
Disappointed. What is interesting about The Dressmaker is that this novel was sort of one of those hand-to-hand books. It grew by word of mouth and became a bestseller. And it's taken a while for it to hit the screen. But it actually was not only the fifth highest grossing Australian film of 2015, but also it has garnered so many awards, something like 15 different awards for the sort of Australian Oscars, I'll call them that. But I think it's a surprise to see Kate Winslet in this. I expected to see Kate Blanchett or someone else, because you she does a perfectly good Australian accent, but you just think, oh, what's she doing in this?
You just think, why?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I did. I did think, why?
Look, I will tell you that a lot of Australians share that sort of puzzlement quite often when we have an imported star as well.
Well, I'm assuming that it had to be made with a small budget. I actually didn't check that. But one of the wonders of The Dressmaker is the story of revenge, a story of revenge that also includes makeovers. Now, irresistible. Okay, Kate Winslet comes back, her character comes back to a small town and finds her mother in this rundown shack. And her mother is Judy Davis.
Wonderful Australian actress.
Spectacular actress. Mm. One of the best actresses of her generation. And in this, she proves there is no such thing as a supporting role. She is wonderful. Really, really wonderful. Which I think makes it a little bit harder for Kate, because Kate does a wonderful job. Don't get me wrong. She hits it. But she looks like she's acting, whereas Judy Davis looks like she's living it. So it's a difference.
I mean, Judy Davis has been around for a very long time. Probably most famous to international audiences for her role as Judy Garland in Me and My Shadows, the television miniseries. Now, it's been released in Australia to some fairly mixed reviews. But as you said, it has actually done some incredible box office, especially for a local film in Australia. I mean, I've spent a lot of my life in Australia, obviously. Australian films are very rarely successful, and arguably they're very rarely very good.
Mm. You mean they're not successful globally?
That's right. They're not successful locally or globally very often.
Oh, really? Not successful at all?
No, the Australian film industry can be fairly notorious at times, actually.
When it's good, it's very good.
That's very true. But I mean, look, sure. I hate to dig the knife into my friends at home, but how often is it very, very good? You've got Picnic Hanging Rock in the 70s, Muriel's Wedding in the 90s, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert not too long after that,
and then a little bit
of a gap. Yes, there have been others as well. It very rarely hits those high notes.
That's true.
What are your thoughts on The Dressmaker then? Is it going to be one of those ones that is remembered for a long time from now?
It's It belongs in a certain category of romantic fiction, where it's unlikely. It actually has a real twist that is unpleasant. Dramatically and realistically, it's quite heartbreaking. It's quite poignant. So it's not all frippery. It's going to be a bit of a curiosity, I think, but I think there's going to be a big segment of the population that's going to like it because it's silly and it's fun. It'll make you cry, it'll make you laugh, and you'll want to go home and dress up.
A nice, friendly film to watch at home then in your pajamas.
Yes, almost, except for that. There's one character death that you do not expect.
Well, we do have a bit of a clip to give you a bit of a taste of The Dressmaker. Here it is.
They say that she killed a boy.
So where did you go from here?
I worked in London, Milan, and Paris.
I reckon you came home for one of two things, revenge or me.
Gertrude Pratt. The dance is Saturday night.
A dress can't change anything.
Watch and learn, Gertrude. Watch and learn. I can make you the most striking girl in the room. Take your clothes off.
Wow, I have to say I'm quite impressed. I didn't quite expect her accent, Kate Winslet's accent, to be so convincing. There are very few people that have managed to master that accent. Helena Bonham Carter is probably the only other one that I can say was thoroughly convincing.
What about Meryl Streep back in the day?
No. Sorry, Meryl. I love Meryl Streep, but good Lord, no. That was not a good accent back then in Evil Angels. The Dressmaker has already hit cinemas in Australia and New Zealand, reaching the top spot at the Australian box office. It comes out in the United Kingdom today. Now, finally, we're heading to the world of Panem for the final installment of The Hunger Games, Suzanne Collins' dystopian adventure that has been turned into four films starring Jennifer Lawrence. This is The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2. Part 2, okay. Karen, fill us in on where we left off at the end of Part 1. Is this one of those cases where it was one book and they've split it into two to maximise the box office?
Yes, it was. Oh, and it's... What can I say? Okay, if you haven't seen the franchise, then the story is in the future, there's an evil empire that forces, I think there's 12 or 14 groups, various districts to fight each other, but only the kids can fight and they have to kill each other off and whoever wins gets to be the king and then that, anyway. So really it's about the commercialization of violence, really. And for that, it's laudable. It's dystopian, and also I think it was quite difficult to make because Jennifer Lawrence, who ended up playing Katniss, who's the big hero, isn't cute. She doesn't really have any romantic streaks, not really. She's very tough and very heroic. And very dynamic. And they didn't think that young women particularly would be interested in that character. But it turns out that they have, because this has been quite a large franchise.
And it sort of came out while Jennifer Lawrence wasn't such a big deal. And then she became a huge deal. How much of it has been riding on the success of Jennifer Lawrence compared to the success of The Hunger Games itself?
Well, that's a very good question, because I always get it confused with Divergent and Insurgent, the other franchise, which is very similar, dystopian. I think she was wonderful in the beginning, and I think that it really has helped, but she seems to have a separate career. Hunger Games seems to be the Jennifer Lawrence of The Hunger Games, with dark hair, and she's quite somber. And then she can really act in other films. She doesn't really need to pull out a lot of stops here, because it's an action heroine that she's playing, really.
And it's very much a playing on that whole fanatical world that was maybe set up by the Twilight franchise, isn't it? And so do you think, is this the bookend of the franchise? Will there be more and more after this?
It's hard to say if this would be rebooted, and I think it might just end here. Of course, anytime you end, I mean, what was it? How many years ago did Time Magazine have the last Star Wars? You know, and so talking about anything ending is a bit premature. But I think that this is quite good as a standalone four films. It's got a huge fan base of people that read the book primarily, and I think that Jennifer Lawrence for this particular Katniss Everdeen, who is really pretty much a one or two note character at best, has done remarkably well to keep her career separate and to keep this buoyant.
Now, one other cast member, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who plays the head gamekeeper Plutarch Heavensby, he died while the film was in production. How did they manage to handle that?
Well, they had enough footage of him, and they also rewrote some scenes where other characters were taking on his role. They managed that. It isn't too obvious, although there is one scene where you think, Philip Seymour Hoffman should be here. But you don't really notice. It doesn't look awkward. He just doesn't seem to be in it very much.
Well, let's hear a little bit of a clip from The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2.
For the first time in our lifetimes, we're standing together with 13 districts. Our future starts tomorrow at dawn, when we march together into the capital. To slow our advance, President Snow is building a minefield of traps. The sadistic inventions of game makers meant to make sport of our deaths.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 76th Hunger Games.
It sounds very operatic, doesn't it? The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 came out yesterday in many countries and hit American cinemas today. Something tells me it'll be a little bit hard to avoid, so keep an eye out for that. And Karen, I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's show. Karen Krasenovich, thank you very much for joining me here in the studio. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. My producer was Holly Fisher, and my researchers were Fernando Augusto Pacheco and Jamie Waters. Join us again at the same time next Monday for a sound art special with Ossian Ward. But for now, thanks very much for listening.